This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. North Carolina's public schools have their first report cards. The state gave a letter grade yesterday to each of the 2,400 schools in the state. The new grades are based on test scores and academic growth, but the results also appear to be tied to socioeconomic status. Schools with more affluent children tended to get A's and B's. Schools with more children from low-income families were more likely to get D's and F's. That could add up and add to the political controversy around these grades. Supporters say it'll make it easier to identify schools that need help. Opponents say they don't provide a full picture of how schools are doing. Rima Crace has been following the story. She's WUNC's education policy reporter. Welcome back, Rima.
Hi, Frank.
Let's get a snapshot, I guess, and look at how public schools did across the state in general.
Right. Taking a step back. So it really looks like a classic bell curve. So about 40% of schools got C's. So most schools got C's. About 23% got B's, about 24% got C's. And then we saw the least amount of schools. We saw fewer schools get A's and F's. About 5% of schools got A's, and about 6% of schools got F's. So that's the big snapshot. State superintendent yesterday said these scores weren't bad, but they're not as good as we expected them to be. And looking just to break it down a little bit more, when we look at public schools and charter schools, which are also public schools, we saw a greater percentage of charter schools get A's and B's than traditional public schools, and then about the same amount of percentage of charter schools get D's and F's as traditional public schools.
All right. Was there a big difference in the number of, in the percentage of A's for charter public schools and other public schools?
Yeah, it was pretty significant. It was about 10, at least 10 percentage points.
So how are these grades calculated?
So as you mentioned before, the state calculated them with the test scores. So every year students take end of grade exams. And so 80% of the grade is calculated by how well students did on one day on these exams. And about 20% is how well they do over time, so how much they've improved. So 80% on test scores, 20% on growth. And that's just for elementary and middle schools. But when we look at high schools, they also calculate it that way, but they also take into account ACT performance and graduation rates. So they have a little bit more going for them, which is why we saw high schools perform slightly better, get a little bit more A's and B's than elementary and middle schools. But what's really interesting, too, is that, you know, when students get their report cards, it's on a 10-point scale, or now it's going to be on a 10-point scale. So we know that a 90 is an A, we know that an 80 is a B, so forth. But this scale is actually on a 15-point scale. So if you get a 40, that means you get an F. It's not a 60. So there has been some concerns about if we change that back to a 10-point scale next year, what that'll mean for the schools. We could see C's dropping to D's and D's dropping to F's. But I think the state anticipated that the scores were going to be pretty bad because we've shifted to new tests. And so that's why they changed it to a 15-point scale.
I see. Well, let's get a snapshot of these grades at the district level across the state. Give us some samples.
So let's see. Wake County, which is, I'm taking a look right now at the report. Wake County, which is the largest school district in the state, it got no F's. And about half of the schools got A's or B's.
Which is better than the statewide average.
Yes, right. Okay. Which is much better than the statewide average. Mm-hmm. Like I said, about 6% of schools in the state got F's.
Right.
And in Western North Carolina, Buncombe County also did well. Only 10% of schools had a D, and there were no F's. And New Hanover County, which includes Wilmington out by the coast, only 15% of schools got a D or F. But when you look at the rural and low-income school district, the picture kind of changes. So, for example, in Robeson County, 30 out of the 41 schools there had D's or F's.
And this is one of the, if not the poorest school district in the state, or certainly among the poorest. Okay.
Right. So 30 out of the 41 schools had D's or F's. That's a big percentage. And in Greensboro, Guilford County, they had a higher proportion of schools with students from low-income families, like in Robeson County, and 40% of schools there got D's or F's. So there's a pretty big variety. Like I mentioned, we saw some school districts get no F's,
right.
And the large population, most of the schools get A's and B's, and we saw lots of lower income school districts get lots of D's and F's.
Yeah, there's a pretty strict correlation. It's interesting if you look at the report and you start breaking it out. I mean, there is a direct correlation between socioeconomic status and your grade. And again, we don't know the socioeconomic status on average of charter schools right now. Who's going there would be an interesting breakout. We don't have it right now.
Right. And it is very telling. I mean, when the state released the report cards, there were these bar graphs, and it was very clear that the schools with high poverty were getting the D's and F's. So schools where at least 8 out of the 10 children qualify for free and reduced lunches received D's and F's, so most of the schools. And we also saw, as I've been saying, higher grades for higher wealth areas. So almost all of the schools with less than 1 in 5 students on free and reduced lunches got A's or B's.
All right. So what's the point of this? We've got the grades now. What's going to happen with them? What does that tell us, and what's the end result?
Well, right now, there isn't anything in the legislation that says that D or F schools, anything will happen to them. Schools are required to post their grades on their websites, and schools that get D's and F's are required to send letters home to parents. Right now, there aren't any incentives or formal penalties, but lawmakers have been talking about wanting to put something in place. They say the whole point of this is to make things more transparent, to let parents know how their schools rank, and to eventually put things in place that can support and reform some of the troubling schools, whether that's with providing incentives to keep high-quality teachers in schools, or putting more funding in for pre-K, or giving more money for low-income schools, creating these special pockets of resources for them. There are lots of options, but right now there isn't anything in the legislation.
So nothing definite. It would be good if you could imagine more resources going to help them, but that's not a promise yet. So this system has its opponents, right?
Oh, yeah. It has a lot of opponents. So we've been anticipating these grades for quite some time now, and up to the release yesterday, we heard from a lot of superintendents and school districts denouncing the grading system, saying that it could stigmatize some of the schools that get D's and F's, and that it's just really not a fair representation. Earlier this week, I went to a middle school in Greensboro. It's called Allen Middle School. And it's a really interesting story there, because they've historically had such low performance. Students haven't been growing. And so much that 2 years ago, they decided, okay, let's just revamp our image. Let's rehire every single staff down to the custodians. Let's shake things up. And they brought on this principal. Her name is Principal Sheila Gorham, and now she's the principal of the year at Guilford County. And at this school, 93% of students are on free and reduced lunches.
Let's hear what she had to say.
Right.
Nobody looked at that. Nobody looked at attendance. Why did we decide one size fit all? I think it's ludicrous. I don't think they were really thinking about students. I think they were thinking about a political interest. You know, who knows how kids will be treated sometime. Kids are really cruel sometime. Oh, you go to that school, that's an F school, that's a D school, that's a C school.
Yeah, so she was saying that they're not taking into account poverty. They're not taking into account the socioeconomic status of students. And that, like I said, that's not a full picture. And we heard a lot of other superintendents say that. And
so who's for it? Give us an idea where the support comes from, and what's behind this politically in the legislature.
So we can take a couple of steps back first. So this actually came from Jeb Bush. This is the former Florida governor, and he championed the policy back in the late 1990s, And since then, we've seen it more than a dozen states adopt them, including North Carolina. And so we saw Senate Leader Phil Berger champion this a couple of years ago. And I talked with Senator Jerry Tillman. He's a Republican who also sponsored the legislation. And he said that he's willing to see how the schools do over time, but he wants to keep the policy in place. But maybe in a few years, if some of the low-performing schools are still getting D's and F's, then he would argue to taking into account growth, the growth of a school and students, when giving it that more weight when calculating the grades.
Well, let's hear from Jerry Tillman.
Will all of the high-flying school systems in demographically favorable areas, will they keep making the A's? And all of the low school systems, even though they're improving, stay D's and F's? If that's the case, and it may not be, But if it is after a couple of years of this, I would move to make a little more credit for the growth.
That's Jerry Tillman.
Yeah, and I don't know if they'll actually give more credit for the growth anytime soon. I think, as he said, they're going to keep this in place. But this week, a Democratic senator, Josh Stein from Wake County, did file a bill saying that, you know, we need to make sure that we consider growth and when giving out these grades. And so we'll see. I don't know how successful that bill will be.
Well, we've only got about 30 seconds left or so, but you'd mentioned Jeb Bush in Florida. It has been around there since about 2000. And Jeb Bush has been talking about the great strides, the great improvements. However, the metrics changed over time. And so they did precisely what critics said they should do, which was to complicate it. And as they did, then we saw improvements. Am I right about that?
Yeah, you're right. We've seen a lot of different states change their formulas over time, which I think has raised a lot of questions about whether these measures are actually valid and what research is behind some of these percentages. So I think we'll still have conversations in North Carolina over the next few months or years about what these grades show and what we'll do about them.
Sounds great. Rima, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Rima Crace, WUNC Education Policy Reporter. Just ahead, cult film director John Waters comes to Durham for a one-man show. We'll get a preview on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, the broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.